Welcome to the sermon from Silver Lake Baptist Church. Our mission is to celebrate the greatness of God with all we are for the joy, hope, and renewal of our community. We are so glad you have chosen to listen to our message. We pray you will be blessed by your time with us today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are y'all? I am doing wonderful this morning. So I actually got, yesterday had enough sunshine, and I had to rearrange my day a little, but got to go to the river with my wife, and Linda loves the river, so like she's got her spot, and if we tell you, we'd have to kill you. Because we used to go to another spot up by Arlington, and it's gotten so crowded, it's not the same, so we want fresh, clear water. But the problem is you got to go way up, and it's usually pretty cold. And so yesterday wasn't that cold, but I love living water, right? Technically, when the priest would go to the temple, or women would go to the mikveh, which is where baptism comes from, they would do it in living water, which meant that you didn't do it in ponds. Like, not to say if you're baptized in a pond, don't be legalistic about it, but the truth of it is it's representative of our sins, our problems, our sicknesses being washed away by the living water, which looks like a person that I've heard about. His name happened to be, is it Jesus? Are you sure it's Jesus? Oh, good, I'm in the right church. So I was wondering. Had to double check that, right? So Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being with us, and we give you the praise in the name of Jesus. So some mornings driving to church, I just have to be like, how do people even get driver's license? Right? I'm driving here, I'm in the fast lane. And so I go to move over, and there's cars buzzing by this car, and it's right in the middle lane, right? And you can't get around them. So then I'm getting almost up where I can pass them, and they get in front of me. And I was like, I'm going to get their attention. So I go like this. And it worked. It was like Moses parting the Red Sea. She just went, whoosh. I was like, I don't have to yell it at Priuses anymore. I can just let them. I can just part the Red Sea. So obviously it must be praising God that they maybe thought I was praising God and I was crazy or whatever. But I was like, you know what? From now on, when I'm in traffic and they're doing that, I'm just going to praise God and surrender it to Him. So I'm careful, though. I try to be nice, because I had a pastor friend one time. He's driving to church, and he got so mad at these people. He's honking at them, yelling at them, going off. And as he gets closer to the church, he gets to the parking lot, and they pull in to the church. And so he pulls in, and they're like, "Hi, Pastor." So I always kind of try to remember, you know, who I am and where I'm going, right? Because that would be kind of a difficult explanation. So they had fun with it. You know, I think they might have been slowing down just to make you madder. You know, sometimes people do that. But we're actually in 1 John. I want to go back to 1 John because I felt like there's some stuff I want to get to that I don't feel like I got to, right? And so I want to follow the Holy Spirit completely. And sometimes you get something stuck in your craw, in a good way, that just goes over and over and over, and it brings life to you, and so much life. But the more you study it, the more you're like, oh, well, why didn't I see this before? Oh, well, why didn't I see this before? And the more you learn, the more you're going to learn that you don't know. That's been the way it is for me with horses. And that's the way it is with me with God. I mean, horses is one thing, but God, like, He's infinite. He's omnipotent. He's all the omni words, right? All the fancy words, like, you name it. I can't describe enough adjectives, right? The creator of the universe, right? Not the universe, the creator of the universe. The king of the universe. He's all those things. And to think that if we lived 10,000 years, it's just a drop in the bucket to what we could learn from God, right? One of my mentors always said, he said, you know what? You can go to the ocean with a teaspoon or a bucket. The ocean don't care. Right? And so every one of us could go to the ocean with a teaspoon or a bucket, and it wouldn't even affect the ocean, right? And so that's the way it is with God, too. It's like, but I don't want to go to him with a teaspoon or a bucket. I want the ocean. I'm a huge Deion Sanders fan, and the football coach at Colorado now, the all-pro defensive back. And he's got some wisdom, but he was telling me he went fishing with his dad when he was a kid, and they're out there fishing and this on the lake, and the guy's, his dad's like, boy, this brand new boat comes by. Boy, I'd love to own that boat. And Deion said, yeah. He's like, I like the boat, but I want the lake. I want the whole lake. And he's like, because then I can fish anywhere I want, anytime I want, and I can put any boat I want. And I was like, how come we don't think like that with God? He owns everything. If he owns all the stars and the universe, there's more universes than just the one we see. Like you look and see all the stars, like it goes on and on and on. And it's still going on, and he's that big. Look at the ocean. We could all take a drink. Again, take our buckets. Take a stock tank, whatever you want to take. And you would never deplete the ocean. The ocean is not intimidated by us, right? And so, I could be funny and say it would help with global warming, but I'm not going down that road. I kind of did, but I'm not going to, okay? Right? But the point being is God is that big. His grace is that big. His supply is that big. That's pretty awesome when you really get a glimpse of who he is. He's not just waiting, oh, here, I'm not going to slap your hand today because I know you're really messed up. He ain't that mean whoppamo God either. That's like, oh boy, you whop, whop, whop. That's not his nature or his character, because if it is, then all the scripture is wrong. Either he is love or he's not. Either he is peace or he's not. Either he is hope or he's not. It's not two ways. It's one way, right? That's why it says the road's narrow, right? He's like, this is the way. I am. Jesus said, I am the way, not I am in the way, right? Some of us think I'm in the way, like I'm in the way, but I am in the way, but not anyway. That's what you get when I go to the river. There's a teddy bear will be here not too long, and maybe he'll sing that song, Jump in the River. I don't know. Anyway, that was all free. I'm going back to John. I'm going to read through this just so we can get context, right? Rather than picking one scripture out and just reading that scripture, I like to read a little bit more substance so you get the full picture of what it is. Because like I can take any scripture and manipulate it any way I want, and so could you. And so we want to read it in context and what it's saying. So it says in 1 John 3, this is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Oh, man, that is not what I wanted to hear today. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because of his own actions were evil and his brothers were righteous. You ever hear the saying, hurt people hurt people? Some people are acting like they're mad at you, but really they're not mad at you. They're mad at themselves. And you're just easier to take it out on than themselves. And maybe they are taking it out on themselves too, but that's another message, right? Let me keep moving, right? Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do not be surprised my brothers, if the world hates you. Now, here's another thing with Cain and Abel, and I like, it's not even my message, but I got to mention it because it's talking about his actions were evil. He was still bringing a sacrifice, but he was bringing it from his works, and his works wasn't good enough. What did Abel? Abel brought the lamb. He's like, I'm going to rely on the lamb, which made him what? Righteous, a perfect sacrifice. Thinking a lot of us nowadays, we bring our works and our stuff as a sacrifice to God and say, hey, is this good enough? Can I be accepted now? And God's like, I'm sorry, that's not it's not about what you do. It's about who you are and about who I am in you and about my finished work. And that's what Abel's saying, hey, here's the perfect sacrifice. Watch this. And he brought the lamb. Maybe if we'd go lamb-focused rather than works-focused, our lives would flow a whole lot easier. Right? And notice every time we get into works trying to do, we try to make other people do, and then we always are better than someone else. Well, at least I'm not like them. Right? They should be like me. Like, look, I'm just bringing watermelons to God, you know, and all Abel, he's killing the livestock. Like, and you're calling me evil? Right? Guys, see how that goes? Because it puts, oh, if I can earn it, that means there's that you can't. And I can look down on you because look at me. I've done this. Look at me. I'm so awesome. And I am. Right? But I'm free in that. It doesn't make me any worse or any better than you. The cross is the equalizer that brings us all to Jesus or to the Father through the perfect sacrifice of Jesus. Now that's pretty big words, right? The cross brings us all level. And it also brings us to the Father. Pretty cool how that works. So, we know that we have passed from life to death because we love. Man, I hate that word. Like, I have to love. I'd rather be mad and mean and angry, and that's a whole lot easier, isn't it? Because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Now, I'm going to tell you something God told me, too. I was mad at an organization. Anybody ever been mad at an organization? And I was like, oh, I hate that organization. And I don't, and God told me, he's like, that word love your brothers means anything that you hate, that you're not coming from the right spirit. I didn't write that. I didn't say that. So I was like, you can hate the fruit of what that's on, but you can't hate the people. You can hate what it represents, and maybe not even hate, because if you focus on that, you're going to end up getting angry and bitter, and that's going to be your driving force rather than loving it, rather than seeing, you know what, Jesus died for them too. You know what, Father, I just pray you show your love to them and you set them free. Now my heart's changing from being angry and mad and hating to now I'm like the Father, where Jesus got up and he said, oh, I just love to wrap them around my arms, you know, like a mama chicken or whatever, cuddles her chicks, man. These people are trying to kill him. They weren't his buddies. They weren't his friends, right? I'm sure he didn't love what they were doing. I'm sure he didn't love the organization that was behind it, but he loved the people. The moment that we get off into hating, we are not coming from the Spirit of God, because that is opposite. That is the darkness, right? And that's what works does to us too. Well, look at this. This organization's great because look at all the good they're doing, and I agree completely with them, but this organization's not. Well, if you believe that, then pray for them both. But pray for them. Father, show your love to them. Change their hearts. Work in the midst of them and come from that position, because what you look at is what you drive towards. It's real important. Also, this is one thing I learned too. What you resist persist. If you're trying to be, oh, I'm never going to sin. I'm never going to make a mistake. I'm never, oh, I can't believe I ate that donut. I'm never going to eat a donut again. I'm not going to eat a donut again. I'm not going to eat a donut again. And do you know what you're going to do? You're going to eat a donut because all you're thinking about is a donut. Right? So I'm resisting the donut at the same time I'm bringing it into my life because of my mindset of it, right? Like psychologists say your mind doesn't know the difference between not, doesn't even know what not. I will not. It's like, oh, I will eat the donut. Because what you focus on has more power than what you say. Does that make sense? So it's really important for us to focus. Focus on Him. Focus on love. Focus on what He wants to do. Hey, let me tell you a secret. We all are going to mess up before the day is over. And you know what sin is? It's an archery term. And if you don't hit the bullseye, it's a sin. Not hit the target. If you don't hit the bullseye, it's a sin. Just how bad of a sin is it? The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? So if any of us think that we can stand any day before the living God who demands us to be perfect and there's that, how would we ever have a chance? Because according to the law, if you're guilty of one, you're guilty of every one of them. And let me tell you something else. Trying to do it in your own works is missing the mark. It's a sin. So in trying not to sin, we're sinning. Paul's like, what? What am I doing? He's like, I try to do good and I don't do good and I try to do this and it don't work. What's he saying? He's like here, I'm trying to hit the mark and I'm not missing the mark or I'm not hitting the mark. I can't hit the mark. And then he says, but my grace is sufficient for you. He found it in Jesus. He found it in God's grace. And maybe that was his thorn in the flesh. Everybody's like, oh, is this a buffet or whatever? What if it was just the fact that, oh man, I got this thorn in my flesh because, like, what if every time I try to get better, I get worse? That's kind of a thorn in your flesh, right? Messing with a million theologians' minds right now. Shaking a hornet's nest right there. The guy told him, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. He said, all you need is my grace. All you need is me. All you need is my heart, my love, my peace, my gentleness, my goodness. All we need is Him. When we focus on Him, we're going to be like Him, allowing Him to live in and through us and do what He does, right? Do what He is more than what He does, right? We must believe that He is and a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, right? So it says, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. Oh, time out. That's pretty heavy. If you just hate your brother, you're a murderer. I call that a sin. Right? Jesus brought it to the top when he said, if you think about it, it's just like you done it. Why? Because what you think about, you're going to imagine. And when you imagine, remember we're talking about the yetzer? Guess what it's going to do? It's going to produce fruit in your life. It might be stinky fruit, but it's still going to be fruit. Right? A pear tree produces apples, right? Banana tree produces pears. Corn grows green beans. I know if I plant corn, it's going to grow. I got to be careful because it might plant green beans, right? No. Whatever I plant, so what's going to come up? So why don't I just start planting hope, love, peace, goodness, and then I'll reap a harvest? You can't sow hate and expect to get back a good product from that, because all it brings is murder and death. Not necessarily just physically, but to you spiritually. Because really, you're murdering yourself. Not physically. That's pretty harsh, isn't it? I didn't say it, he said it. Right? When you judge someone else, you're really judging yourself. And so we don't want to get so self-righteous where we're judging other people and we're doing this and we think we're good. And it's like, well, they're doing this, so I got to straighten them out and line them out, or they can't be a part of me because they did this or they did that. That's murdering someone out of your life. It's kind of hard preaching this morning, isn't it? But that's the truth. If we want to be righteous and we want to be holy, we want to be like Jesus. We don't have to love everybody or approve of everybody, but we do have to love them, right? Just like they are. Because we don't have to love everybody. You get a choice. That's where I'm going with that, right? Now watch this. This is how we know what love is. Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can he love God and be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive a little bit. Receive some things. And receive anything we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command. Now he's telling you what his command is, because you're like, oh man. So especially if you know that there's like 639 or whatever, there's like a ton of commands in the Torah alone, right? Now you get into the New Testament, added on to that, there's no way you can keep every one of those commands. You can't even keep the Ten Commandments. Not all of them. So now, okay, well, this becomes impossible, right? And that's what it turns into. Being impossible, when we put it on ourselves, it is an insult to the cross and the finished work of Jesus. Can you imagine? Okay, I was just thinking about this. Like, Picasso comes in, and they don't draw it, they paint it, right? He paints the most beautiful painting you ever saw. And he's like, this is perfect. You don't need to add anything to it. It can't get any better than this. It's worth $10 billion. And maybe even invaluable. You can't get enough money, because there's never been a painting like this in the history of the earth. This is it. Look at this Picasso. And you look at it and you go, yeah, that's pretty good. But let me fix it right there. And you take your pencil or your ink pen, and you start drawing on it, trying to fix something that's already been done and that's already perfect. You haven't fixed anything. In fact, what you've done is you've rendered that finished work worthless. You took all the value out of the finished work because you think you got to fix it with something that you do. You know what I call that? Doo-doo. It's doo-doo. That's all it is. It has nothing to do with us. We do out of who we are. If you focus on Him, you're going to be so in love with Him, you're going to do great things. Like I went, my wife likes Topo Chico, right? And so Linda will drink Topo Chico. It's good, she says. It's okay to me, right? But she loves it. So I got this box because it was on sale the other day. So I'm at the store and I'm getting me, I like Zevia. Anybody have these Zevia? It's like fake pop, but it's really good and it's supposed to be good for you. So we'll just go with that, right? And so I'm buying my Zevia and it's on sale. And I'm like, I can't buy Zevia and bring home nothing for Linda. So I go and get her another box. And I thought, well, surely she already drank hers, you know. And so I get to the counter and I put my stuff up there. And I look and she's got a whole box, another box that's still unopened. And then we got some in almost a full box in the fridge. And here I brought another box and set it down. And I didn't get mad. I was just like, that's so awesome. She's going to be so happy when she comes home and sees that. And I was like, I am a great husband. I am an awesome husband. I am so cool. Just look what I did. But I didn't do it out of trying to do it. I did it because I love her. And I was wanting to bless her. And it was just something that naturally, well, I got to do this. But I did it not because I wanted to get something from her, but because I loved her. And because that's who I am. I am. I'm a great husband. I ain't just pretty. Right? And so that's how we are with God, right? That's how we just live in Him and focus on Him and put our hearts on Him. And we won't have to worry about missing the mark, because I promise you're not gonna be perfect. Like you take your kid out and take him archery shooting, and they shoot and they miss. Like they don't even hit the target. They hit the cow over there in the butt. They're trying to hit the target. They're trying to get it right. They're trying with all their heart. And you know what? If I do, all I do is slap them and say, "You rotten sinner. You're no good. You're worthless. You didn't hit this. How you ever think you're going to get ice cream?" And now I got to go pay a vet to doctor my cow's butt. How long do you think that kid would keep shooting? He'd keep shooting, but he wouldn't care about even hitting the mark. That's how we equate God, and then we're mad because people don't want to pick up the bow and arrow and shoot anymore. Because God's been misrepresented. He's like, "Hey, whoop, I know you're going to miss. I'm going to get you the ice cream, but let me show you how it's done." And that's what Jesus did. He pulled the bow back. He went, whew, bullseye. That's it, boys. It's done. I've hit it once and for all. Don't even worry about that. You're going to naturally hit it because you're in me and I'm in you. And now I'm going to shoot for you. Whom the Son sets free is free until someone tells you you're not. It's free till you mess up. It's free till you get angry. And the Son sets free is free indeed. If our hearts condemn us, that's not from God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He did not come into the world to condemn us, but to save us. And when we're sin conscious, our hearts are condemning us. Scripture says, therefore, there is now, when? Now, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now watch. And this is a command to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. That's the most impossible in the flesh. You know how you do it? By not living in the flesh. How do you do that? By loving Him. By surrendering to His love. By surrendering to His grace. If you knew how good it was and how great He is, man, we wouldn't worry about that thing. If we knew how finished it was, we wouldn't worry about nothing. We'd just live. Those who obey His commands live in Him, and Him, what command? To believe. His first command's to believe. The root of all sins, unbelief. So just switch it around. He's already paid for the sins of every person that has lived or ever lived. The only thing that they need to do is change their mind and agree with Him. Yes, I am a Picasso. I am created in the image and likeness of God Himself. I am valuable. Jesus paid the price. I'm going to change my mind from having to earn something from God to saying, here I am, Abba.
Amen.
That's the good news. Can you imagine a baby being born? Like, oh, that evil sinner. He want. Like, he's so mad, he slapped the doctor. The innocence of that baby. It took other people to corrupt that baby. It took living in this world, in this world's ways, to corrupt that baby. But that baby was not born nasty and mean and hateful. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And this is a command to believe in the name of the Lord. Those who obey His command live in Him and He in them. And this is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us. Now here's, it says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have come out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Listen to this. This is how we can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. That's awesome, because you know what that means? That means all the Jews who think that Jesus was just a good teacher, guess what? They're saved because they believe He came in the flesh. How about the Muslims, right? They believe he existed and He is a good dude. They believed He came in the flesh. What about them? A lot of atheists that don't believe in God believe that Jesus came in the flesh. And so I always heard this all my life. You must believe that Jesus had come in the flesh. That's how you know. Yeah, He did come in the flesh, God incarnate. But that's not what the Scripture's saying. You must believe that He has come in the flesh. Not just that He come in the flesh back then, but He is here right now. I am in Christ, and He is in me. He come to be in me, to live in me. Now I believe Christ in me is the hope of glory. That's how Jesus comes in the flesh, is through you and through me. Makes it a little simpler. Maybe too cowboy simple. I don't know. But watch this. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. What are you saying? If you don't acknowledge that Jesus Christ in me is the hope of glory, that you have to wait till He comes back, or wait till you die, or you might believe that He was back then, but you got to go on there. That is not from God. That's called a religious spirit. Anything that demands your effort and your work is not the Spirit of God. So what is saying? I didn't say that. Is that harsh preaching? It's about Jesus. Not about Jesus who's coming back and he is, or Jesus that lived and he did, but about Jesus who is in me right now. Well, Pastor James, I wish you could clear that up with Scripture. I'm glad, because this is exactly where they're going. Watch this. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard in coming, and even now is already in the world. Guess what? You trying to work your way to Jesus is maybe more Antichrist than an atheist that doesn't believe that God exists. Because it's not about works. You're saying, I don't need your Picasso, Jesus. I'll fix it on my own. Now watch this. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because you've done everything perfect. No? You, dear children, are from God and overcome them because the one who is in you, watch this, the one who is in you, the one who has come in the flesh, the one who is in you is in you. Watch this. Because the one who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. What am I saying? It's for freedom. It's about Jesus. It's about, are you living from your senses or are you living from your spirit? Are you trusting God and his finished work, or are you trying to mark on that Picasso? It's pretty easy. So just believe. Believe. Love yourself and love everyone else, and everything else will work out. Isn't that good news? Amen. So, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love. And we thank you for your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to learn more about us, check out our website at www.silverlakebaptist.org.